This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Canada, I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, to comment on the breaking news in Canada and more. Headline, The New York Times, Canada. Ottawa police chief resigns after Trudeau, the prime minister, declares national emergency to end protests. We learn the chief of police, who has led the effort to end the occupation of Ottawa, resigned on Tuesday, these last hours, a day after Prime Minister Justin Trudeau intervened amid criticisms that a tepid police response has failed to end the blockade buffeting the nation's capital. Peter Slowly, resignation as Ottawa police chief, which was confirmed by the Minister of Public Safety, came after Mr. Trudeau took the rare step of declaring a national public emergency aimed at stopping protests that have roiled Canada for weeks. Gregory, a very good evening to you. I learned from you that this national public order emergency is indeed very rare. When has it been used before, and what does it mean for the people of Canada? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the Act has never been used. The Emergencies Act has never been used in Canadian history since it was made law in 1988. It did replace the War Measures Act, which was the traditional act, and that was only used once in the post-World War II era, and that was by Justin Trudeau, the current Prime Minister's father, Pierre Trudeau, to address a kidnapping and assassination of a Quebecois cabinet minister. Neither that 1970 issue nor this current situation rise to the level of a national security threat or a national emergency. And yet both Pierre Trudeau and Justin Trudeau have resorted to this draconian legislation meant to prepare the country for a total war with another country, just to save their political skins. And in fact, two of my very close senior national security contacts in Ottawa used almost identical language today to say that this use of the Emergency Act is the last refuge of the terminally weak, which is meant to describe Pierre Justin Trudeau. The problem is Justin Trudeau, even though he has a minority government, he only has 160 of the 338 seats in the House of Representatives, is still more or less politically secure because he gets the support of a number of smaller radical parties who will make sure that the opposition Conservative Party cannot introduce a vote of no confidence to literally throw him out. But he only got something like 39% of the vote in the elections last September, and he actually called that election last September so that he would be re-elected, knowing he would not improve his standing, but it would give him another 4 years in office. In other words, if he'd had to go back to the electorate in a year or so, he would have definitely been thrown out because he knew that popular opinion was against him. And right now, as we saw this lead up to the use of the Emergency Act, as the Freedom Convoy of truckers started moving from Windsor on the US-Canadian border up into Ottawa, Trudeau actually fled from his home and from his office it was like a panic. It was almost embarrassing. Well, it was embarrassing, in fact, for him. And I don't see how he can politically recover any credibility after this.
My memory of where this started, I remember reporting on it the first few days, is that the protest is by truckers who drive internationally, that is, back and forth to the United States. Canada has been described to me as a long ribbon of population along both sides, along the northern border of the United States. And the protest was based on a relatively recent mandate from Ottawa, I believe middle of January, that if you cross in from the United States, you must quarantine for X number of days. I have a vague memory of all of this. And the truckers found it odd, strange, and overmuch, given where we are in the virus. I mean, at the same time, Gregory, we're having Denmark and England lift all mandates. We're having people riding the tube in London without masks on. We're talking about 70,000 people at the Super Bowl in Los Angeles who were required to have a mask to get into the stadium. But then no one was pictured wearing the mask in the stadium, including, I believe, several times now, the mayor of Los Angeles. So we have a mixed opinion of where we are in the virus. But the truckers' protest led to a convoy that was driving across Canada, very colorful. And I remember people standing at the corners waving flags as they rode by. What happened? How did it deteriorate to this conflict where you say that the prime minister is using the same powers that he would if Mars invaded?
Yeah, exactly right. Well, the protest was not just about the quarantining, but about this enforced mandate that truckers had to have the vaccine cards and so on. And here you've got an industry which is, talk about a self-isolating industry. Truckers are among the loneliest of professions, and yet they were being forced to go through all of these steps, which was going to dramatically reduce not only the income of the truckers, but the productivity of the entire Canadian retail and manufacturing system. So they had no alternative but to at least protest this. At the same time, we found that a number of the provinces of Canada have been withdrawing all of their COVID-related mandates, so that they've been trying to free up the system while Trudeau has been trying to use the COVID crisis as a way to control the population. Now, the interesting thing was that he has never been good with any disagreements with his policies, and he reacts vitriolically, almost, well, definitely childishly, and now it's risen to the point where his fear is almost visible as a frothing of the mouth when he finds himself being opposed. So he lashes back with this War Powers Act, which was, to say it was excessive was an understatement. But he also calls all of the truckers racists and white supremacists, and that said that they've broken the law, when patently they had not broken the law. They'd been scrupulous about saying that they are engaging in peaceful protest, and that they will remain within the law. They understand that the changes in the law have to be done constitutionally and through Parliament, and they accept that. But what they're trying to get is the Prime Minister to use his power to act, and instead he retaliates and calls them literally unpatriotic and criminal.
I saw one video of the governor of the Prime Minister early on. I'm sorry if I didn't study this matter, but he was making a statement and I listened to him. And in the course of the statement, he referred to the truckers, I guess in Ottawa, as waving a swastika or a swastika flag. Now, Gregory, I was flabbergasted because I'm reading a book about 30 Corps and about 8 Corps with Montgomery from Normandy to Northern Germany, all during those months of late war. The Canadian division was always in the fight, took enormous casualties. So did the Scottish division. So did all of Montgomery's people. They slugged it out with the Panzer divisions. You know this story. Trudeau can't know that story, Gregory. He can't have been educated properly to say that to his countrymen. They were all volunteers.
Well, the fact is that that Justin Trudeau, like his father, is fundamentally against the concept of Canada itself. He's extremely radical left. Now, I was just before the COVID crisis came on, I was at the Australia-Canada bilateral economic forum in Melbourne, Australia, normally attended by the Prime Ministers of Australia and Canada, and Trudeau refused to come on the basis that Australia had a Conservative Prime Minister and he would not be seen meeting with a Conservative Prime Minister, despite the decades and decades, century plus, of close alliance between Canada and Australia as fellow Commonwealth members and as fellow members of the Five Eyes Intelligence Agreement. It was, and when his representative at the conference was, I challenged him about this and about the potential threats by China to both Canada and Australia. He said Canada, the Prime Minister's view is that Canada does not have to worry about the People's Republic of China because friends of his family and of his party had been engaged in the Long March in the 1930s, and therefore were friends of Mao, and therefore Canada was untouchable as long as Trudeau was around. I mean, this is the kind of thinking which is so alien to the incredible monarchical, democratic, and parliamentary spirit which has embraced all of Canada, including the First Nations peoples, for, you know, the last couple of centuries.
Does this come out of the contest between Quebec and the rest of the country? Is this lingering resentment passed through what you'd have to say is poorly read history? I mean, for a prime minister of Canada, any prime minister, to speak to his people as if they were sympathetic to the Germans during World War II is fantastic, Gregory. No American president would make an error. No American president.
I think we've seen some remarkable comments by politicians around the world in the last a couple of years, but the reality is that there were no Nazi flags at these demonstrations, and what's really telling in this regard is that Trudeau ordered that all of the security surveillance cameras around Ottawa were turned off and not recording during this whole period because the evidence contradicts everything he said, and he knew it, and this has been supported by the vast amounts of freelance video and photographic coverage of these protests. So and by the way, this is why the police chief in Ottawa resigned, because as far as the Prime Minister was concerned, he was going soft on the protesters when, as a law enforcement official, he knew that there was no case to justify what was demanded, which was an illegal crackdown on the peaceful assembly of Canadian citizens. So basically, it's not a matter of whether Trudeau, who is very poorly educated anyway and was only ever a primary school teacher, it's not that he has misread history, it's that he has or hasn't read history. The fact is that he and his father had a very different view on what that history meant. And this was, there was no, shall we say, doubting the sympathy which the Trudeau family has had with people like Fidel Castro and with Mao Zedong and so on. These are pointers to the radical approach which Trudeau has taken. And he has largely appeared to be a Western-style, elegantly dressed young playboy, although frankly, he shows that he's not a true conservative even in his dress, but he's appealed to the millennials who know nothing about his or his father's background. And they've gone along with his shibboleths, misuse of facts to get elected.
Let's go to Australia, Gregory, because you also write about how these convoys in Canada have inspired other parts of the globe to protest the lingering mandates from the virus. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.